was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation.
Welcome back, everyone, to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and I'm joined with Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers and Keith Jones, my stand-in co-hosts for this evening. Before the break, I was touching base on the Stingray devices that, you know, all the law enforcement pretend like they don't have and that they don't grab your information without a warrant. Well, now it's in congressional record. So on December the 19th, 2016, I was going over a little bit of information from this. You can get your own copy of this at oversight.house.gov and then go to your press releases, click on that press release, and you will be able to find it. You need to read this. But I'm going to give you a couple of excerpts from the report. It says, advances in emerging surveillance technologies like cell site simulators require careful evaluation to ensure their use is consistent with the protections afforded under the First and Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. While law enforcement agencies should be able to utilize technology as a tool to help officers, quote, be safe and accomplish their missions, absent proper oversight and safeguards, the domestic use of cell site simulators may well infringe upon the constitutional rights of citizens to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, as well as the right to free association. Transparency and accountability are therefore critical to ensuring that when domestic law enforcement decide to use these devices on American citizens, the devices are used in a manner that meets the requirements and protections of the Constitution. Background. It states, as a result of the committee's investigation, the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and the IRS updated their policies to require obtaining a warrant before deploying cell site simulator. Additionally, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration has agreed not to obtain additional equipment or software upgrades for its current device, thus effectively decommissioning the device. Really? Well, let me tell you some facts on these report findings. State laws continue to vary as to what court authorization is required before law enforcement can deploy cell site simulators. In many cases, state and local law enforcement continue to rely on the state equivalent of a PIN register, trap, and trace order, which only requires a law enforcement to meet a, quote, relevance-based standard, unquote, to use cell site simulation devices, a standard that is lower than probable cause. The Department of Justice has 310 cell site simulation devices and spent more than $71 million in fiscal years 2010 through 2014 on cell site simulation technology. Department of Homeland Security has 124 cell site simulation devices and spent more than $24 million in fiscal years 2010 through 2014 on cell site simulation technology. Now, I am not going to go through the rest of this report. Please go and read this report. However, we could have saved $95 million had they just obeyed the Constitution and got a warrant. What do you think, guys?
Well, I'd like to back up just for a moment, if I may, Lori.
Sure.
Don't mind. And this is coming off my other end of my life, is that a lot of stuff that we're hearing is because of the way the computers are set up. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because Mr. Agenda 21 is the one that heads up the computers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, my question is, do you know who Mr. Agenda 21 is?
Talking about Bill Gates.
Right. And who's the number one software? For computer. Okay, so what happens is...
for phones. This tricks it into being a cell phone tower is what it does.
Let me finish. Okay. Mm-hmm. In Windows, there's something we call ports.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we go in and get our stuff and weave in and out and the whole thing through the system. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you can even go back even recently when they had the shooters from, quote-unquote, from San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the FBI wanted to have Apple set up a back door.
Mm-hmm.
So they get in. Well, it's the same thing. But the difference is you don't need that back door in Windows. Anyone that's a hacker that knows anything about computers can hack into the best there is with Windows without any problem. So my argument goes to somewhat, and that's my thinking in the back of my head. When they done this, they did it very sloppy, because there's ways you can do this and never leave what we call a fingerprint. In other words, that you cannot, they cannot trace your IP. They never figure out where, nothing. So they are very sloppy with doing it. And the only way they can do that is through Windows, by going through different ports. And the gentleman said they couldn't assimilate because they went through a port. They won't tell them what port they went through.
Right. Well, you know, my issue is this. Okay, and there's been a lot of court cases dropped because they couldn't expose that stingray that they used unlawfully in the first place without a warrant, and they had a contract that was drawn up with the Department of Homeland Security of what is the technical word for it, where they're not allowed to say a non-disclosure. Isn't it the non-disclosure where they have to? It's confidential. And so they've had to drop court cases because of it. But here's the thing, okay? That still tricks cell towers. So if they're going to use that for one individual, right, that's not going to grab just that one individual's, because it is tricking cell phones in the area to think that that is the tower, right? Now, that's
the reality. Yeah, because you've got to get every port, every cell phone's port, and that's on that cell tower. Because all the ports are usually open the same way.
Right. So get a warrant, gentlemen who want to claim your constitutional. Get a real warrant, not a signing statement, and you can do that wiretap. You can follow that phone device. You can't pretend like you can't. It's all a scam, and we could have saved $95 million, which would have gone a long way towards our infrastructure, I believe. So everyone needs to really check that out, but we have a lot to cover tonight. We really do. I do want to say kudos to the state of Ohio. Governor Kasich signed a bill legalizing campus carry in the wake of the Ohio state car and knife attack. This was reported on December the 19th that John Kasich signed Senate Bill 199, thereby legalizing, don't you love that? It was already an unalienable right, but, you know, gotta love Bill Clinton, right? Thereby legalizing concealed carry on college and university campuses where school trustees vote to allow it. SB 199 also removes a state ban on concealed carry in public areas of airports and on carrying guns for self-defense at daycares. The status of concealed carry at daycares is now in the hands of individual business owners who can decide whether to allow concealed carry at their respective businesses. Cleveland.com did report that SB 199, quote, also prohibits employers from banning concealed handgun permit holders from bringing guns into company parking lot, unquote. The various aspects of the new law take effect in 90 days. Now, here's the thing. It may stop employers from banning concealed handgun permit holders from bringing guns into the company parking lot, but what about on the job? Because the dangerous part of that is, well, you can have it in your car, but you can't bring it in with you. So first of all, you're going to be without your weapon if some nut job goes in there and tries to shoot up your workplace. Second of all, the worst thing you can do is leave your weapon unattended in a vehicle. I've had, I don't know how many police officers confirm that to me. I have asked them, you know, if I tell you I don't want you to bring your gun into my home, if I have a no guns allowed sign, are you going to disarm and lock your weapon in your police car? Their response to me was no, of course not. Why not? That's the law, right? Well, it's a little different because I'm police officer. No, it's not. But here's the question, and this is what I told them. I said, I want you to tell me why. Their quote was this: because it is not safe or responsible to leave my weapon in my car anybody could break in my car and take my weapon. And I said, exactly. Thank you. You proved my point. That is what you are telling concealed carriers and open carriers all across the nation, is to leave it in their vehicles when you yourself will not do it because it's an irresponsible action. So I've asked police officers about that, and that's what they told me. So with that being said, that is a congratulations to the state of Ohio, but let me remind the state of Ohio, for anyone who is listening, you need to get on to House Bill 147. Keep pushing for that. That is where they are trying to pass constitutional carry. House Bill 147 was introduced on 4-7-2015 in the House, and it was referred to committee on 11-10-2016. Okay? This does away with having to be quote-unquote licensed to conceal carry. Anyone who tells you and speaks out against, well, you shouldn't be able to conceal carry without that license. Number one, you should never have to ask the government permission to be able to safeguard your body and your family. Number two, when you get that license, it turns it into permission instead of a right. And number three, Ohio is an open carry state. So if you carry openly, you do not have to have a license. If you put your shirt over that, that does not change the fact of how well you know how to use your firearm or how safe you are with it. That is geography. That is it. Anyone in mainstream media who wants to tell you there is any difference other than a shirt being over it is delusional and lying to you. So you need to check into, if you're in the state of Ohio, House Bill 147, and see about getting that pushed through. That will actually do away with the concealed carry permit, where Ohio requires fingerprinting, the background check, and, of course, you know, the training. Now, I'm all for everybody getting trained. I think everybody should be trained in firearms. But that should also be on an individual basis. Maybe there should be some officers or a program where officers will train the public for free, actually do some public service for free, instead of complaining because they're not going to get those taxes in and not going to get that list of individuals who have a weapon. So that is the good news for the state of Ohio. Congratulations on that end of things. I have some other interesting news, and I am not going to take up a lot of time with this one. You can believe it. How many of you are aware that Walmart online is now selling Black Lives Matter shirts? Were you aware of that? Eric, were you aware that Walmart had started selling Black Lives Matter shirts?
No, that's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, Walmart started selling Black Lives Matter shirts online, okay? And one of them had bulletproof Black Lives Matter, okay? And so, of course, the police have been protesting. A lot of people have been protesting about this, apparently. So Walmart has agreed to stop selling the ones that say, quote-unquote, bulletproof Black Lives Matter, but they are still continuing to sell the Black Lives Matter shirts. Now, these individuals, you know, it'd be one thing if they were grassroots and were sincere, but as we've touted over and over and over again, it is not Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, this, that, and the other. Your life matters, period. It, no ifs, no ands, and no buts. But Black Lives Matter has a history of rioting and causing such anger within the people, which is the whole reason that they formed in the first place. You know, it stemmed out of the false stuff in Ferguson, you know, and the Michael Brown case. That's what that one was. So, hands up, don't shoot, that never existed, right? And so Black Lives Matter did that, and I will say I'm personally boycotting Walmart, because they're getting into an area where they are promoting that political narrative to create that division, and I'm just not going to go along with that. So I am personally boycotting Walmart. Some other individuals are calling for the boycott of Walmart. I think it's up to you what you decide to do. However, where many individuals try to claim that these are such peaceful people, well, Mike, if you could, let's hear a word from Sheriff Clark on LV5, if you could get that ready. And then we're going to prove to you how peaceful these Black Lives Matter movement is. And then we will get into a couple more topics before the end of the show. If you could, Mike, go ahead and play. This is Sheriff Clark taking on Don Lemon about the Black Lives Matter movement. LV5,
news
please.
Tonight, three officers dead, three wounded in Baton Rouge. A really tough day for Baton Rouge and for the country, really. Here to talk about how to keep our police safe is Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. He is going to be speaking at the Republican convention tomorrow night. Sheriff, thank you very much for that horrific day. I spoke to the heads of the Sheriff Department, the Police Department, and the state police down there, and they told us how their hearts were reeling. Their message is peace and coming together in the country. What's your message?
You don't believe that for 1 minute, do you?
That their message is?
Yeah.
That's what they said to me.
Okay.
Yeah, believe them. Of
course. Any protests over the deaths of these cops today in Baton Rouge?
I don't know that.
Any riots or protests over the police officers in Dallas, Texas?
What are you asking?
It's a pretty simple question.
I asked you if what's your message to the people, their message is one of peace. What is your message?
My message has been clear from day one, 2 years ago. This anti-cop sentiment from this hateful ideology called Black Lives Matter has fueled this rage against the American police officer. I predicted this 2 years ago. So what I want to know.
With all due respect, do you know that this was because of that? Do
we, yes, I do.
As a law enforcement officer?
I've been watching this for 2 years. I predicted this. This anti-police rhetoric sweeping the country has turned out some hateful things inside of people that are now playing themselves out on the American police officer. I want to know, with all of the black-on-black violence in the United States of America, by the way, when the tragedies happened in Louisiana and Minnesota, do you know that 21 black people were murdered across the United States?
Was there any reporting on that? There was a black officer who was killed today. But let's.
Was there any reporting on that?
Sheriff, please. Let's just keep the volume down here. So I understand,
I'm looking at three dead cops this week,
Sheriff,
and I'm looking at five last year. You trying to tell me to keep it down?
Just please. We can keep it civil. So, because the message to people at home, I'm sure you want, is one of civility.
I wish you had that message of civility.
I would like to have a conversation
toward this
with you.
Hateful ideology, these purveyors of hate.
You don't know what my message is.
That's
what
they
I want to
do.
Say to you is,
these
wait,
people
let me
preach
vile
and virtue
we'll be right
in the
back.
Name
We're
of
gonna go to break,
hate.
And we'll be right back. Are you going to let me talk? Back now live with Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. We're here live in Cleveland. You're set to speak tomorrow night. And again, all I want to do is have a conversation. I can't have a conversation with you if we're both talking at the same time. Would it sound?
Okay. So I'm not going to play that the rest of the clip. Obviously, you get the point. So Don Lemon tried to say these Black Lives Matter people are peaceful. Now, they don't even just spew, of course, hatred towards cops. Some of them, not all of them, also spew hatreds towards white people or Trump supporters, or, you know, the list kind of goes on and on, anything that goes against their ideology. Let's hear how peaceful they are. Mike, if you could please play LV6.
Come on.
So obviously you get the point. If you didn't understand what they were saying, what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. That was in response to the Garner situation out of New York. And as I have pointed out before, I understand the Garner situation was a bad situation. I don't agree with that entire situation that happened for many different reasons. But I want to know why they're going after the cops instead of the politicians who implemented those illegal laws and taxes in the first place over stupid cigarettes. So that is another thing. Why aren't you focusing on the ones who are actually, and I understand the situation that it should have never arose to the point that it did, but the truth is he died from a heart attack, not from being choked. So they're out there screaming.
Let me give the other side to this. This is the syndrome that happened in Nazi Germany, in pre-World War II Germany. How far is the order taker and the executioner going to take an illegitimate order?
Right.
I would say at least equally responsible. Even I might slightly disagree with Lori and say the onus is more on the executioner, because once again, somebody can tell somebody to do anything. It can make up all kinds of stuff. It's really up to where the boots meet the ground to hold the order giver, okay, the legislators who are passing these crazy laws, hold them accountable by saying, no, I'm not going to do that. It's very simple. When your conscience clearly dictates that you're about to execute an immoral order, then you have to just touch your tongue to the roof of your mouth and say, no. It's real simple.
Well, no,
and
I agree
the police,
with you.
And I feel a little bit bad for the police.
That.
They're being... I'll finish this thought. The police are being set up. They're in an admiralty. They're being taught and trained that we are conscripts in their military. That's the mindset. They may not word it that way, but pretty close. They call it admiralty law.
Right, and you also have to remember.
And that's what we're living under. So, and they're being trained that you shoot first, you ask questions later. The safety of the police officer is paramount. If you kill 100 civilians, all that matters is that one cop gets saved. This is what they're being trained. Now, it's wrong. I'll make the judgment. It's bad. And they're being given this mindset. They're being given these unlawful, illegitimate orders by crazy politicians who also need to be hanged. And after a speedy trial, okay, by a jury of the people who they persecuted, to really make it fair. And from there on, we can work our way down. You want to start from the bottom and work up, top and work down. I don't see many either order givers or order takers being held accountable right now. And the problem is, you know, our military is not doing their job to protect us against domestic enemies. They all took an oath to do it, and I'm not blaming them, but I think they're all awake and ready to do something if they could. I'm not advocating any type of coup or overthrow, but a restoration of the original republic is what we have to have, where we're going to wind up being slaves. We already are right now. If you read the Communist Manifesto, you'll find just about
all of them but one of the 10 planks
are
implemented.
And so there we are. So it's not like it's coming. It's like we're here. And so, and I see, and the police departments have to look inward. If they want us to be forgiving and support the police and all this stuff, they have to stop destroying people's lives by dragging them into court for victimless crimes. And once again, this is crucial. The society or the state or the county or the town cannot be a victim. You have to have a living man or a living woman to actually complain, yes, that person did me wrong. And when a policeman writes a report that says so-and-so did this wrong and this is illegal, and then it says victim. I had a retired parole officer tell me, he said, I'm sick of these cops writing in where it says victim. They write in society. How can society be a victim? It's completely invisible, and so this needs to stop, and then police people won't have such a bad attitude toward police.
Well, no, and I agree with you 100%, Eric, but what I'm saying is, all they're doing, and we know this stems out of Soros, because we know where this grassroots came from, right? But what I'm saying is, not once are you hearing any of them going after the politicians that are making these unlawful laws in the first place. Not once. You're always hearing them, you know, blacks are being murdered more by cops than whites. Okay, that's statistically not true. On top of that, this is the perfect divide and conquer, and I'll tell you why. They're getting them angry at the cops. The cops are being taught that the people are the enemy. Why? Because they are being targeted by those people, or the people, if you will, so they feel like they have to stick closer together, and they can't associate with normal people like you and I or Black Lives Matter because, well, if they do, you know, they may be a target and may be killed. It's the perfect divide and conquer because they are seeing us as a threat, so they are unifying together. Black Lives Matter, even though it stems out of Soros, they're seeing the cops as a threat. So it's an inward thing trying to create a situation of the perfect divide and conquer, when in reality, it's the system itself that needs to be fought together by both sides. And if, like you said, if the officers would actually follow their oath, and the sad thing is a lot of officers have never read the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence. And because of that, how can you swear an oath to protect it when you don't even know what you're protecting? That's really what it boils down to. And I agree about the enforcers. I agree 100% with that. I'm just saying, never once do you hear them speak out or go around Comey or go around Bloomberg or go around any of these politicians that are making these codes, or these lawyers that are sitting there in their seats in these communities and these councils making these codes. That is what those officers are enforcing. And yes, those officers should not be enforcing them because they're not constitutional in the first place. So
they're equally liable. I agree. They're we need both.
Right.
And yes,
right.
I would much rather see some of the big order givers go down, because that would cascade down and solve the problem a lot quicker. Some of the big fish, unfortunately, they throw us a bone here with a corrupt cop here or a corrupt cop there. And the problem, which is the order giver and the order taker, it's
right.
Not being addressed really at the I agree. I'd love to see some more big fish get put it behind
right.
the bars that they built for us.
Absolutely. Okay, everybody, please stay with us. We'll be right back after a word from the network sponsors.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
If you have sciatica, then you know all about the crippling pain that travels from your lower back down your leg when a spasm occurs. It's brutal. In fact, it's enough to take your breath away. Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream helps relieve persistent, shooting pains associated with the sciatic nerve in the lower back and legs. This natural, homeopathic cream contains the most potent ingredients to soothe even the most excruciating pain associated with sciatica. Stop the pain now. Ask for Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream at your local health food store or go online to TraskNutrition.com.
Would you like relief from muscle pain, headaches, and discomfort to sleep better, have more energy during the day, and just feel naturally amazing? Fibromalic can help. Its blend of malic acid and magnesium can provide pain relief and comfort for those who experience fibromyalgia. It helps your body absorb more oxygen, and it works quickly for a significant reduction in pain within 48 hours, all without a prescription. Ask for Fibromalic at health and vitamin shops or shop fibromalic.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
In the midnight, in the midnight.
Welcome back, everyone, to Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. Thank you for joining us this evening. The next topic that I wanted to cover, I want to say that the individual who covered this, his name is Ben Swan. If you've not heard of Ben Swan is a two-time Emmy Award-winning and three-time Edward Murrow Award-winning journalist. Ben Swan has been in the journalist broadcast news for over 15 years. He used to work for Fox News, and he stopped working for Fox News and created his own internet reporting agency called Truth in Media, and you can find him at truthinmedia.com. Ben Swan is one of the very few that I respect that came out of mainstream media. He has exposed quite a few things, such as the goings-on that was going on with the Mexican Sinaloa cartel. He did expose that. He exposed the truth behind cannabis and CBD oil, the root of the militarization of the police and the origins of ISIS. He is an amazing journalist. Well, I want to send out a personal thank you to Ben Swan. He also contributes sometime to freedomoutpost.com. And I want to send out a personal thank you because he covered in one of his reality checks about Syria, about Aleppo in Syria. And this I want to share with you because you have heard me over and over and over again telling you and explaining to you that those moderates are actually Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, ISIS, ISIL, the whole faction. They are the terrorists, and the United States of America are funding them. So the terrorists who were in Aleppo were actually what the side our government was on. And so there's this myth of a story being put out by antique mainstream media as to you know, they're all upset that, remember, we covered the ambassador was shot because of the man was upset about the situation in Aleppo because of the quote-unquote oppression. Well, Ben Swan does an awesome job at explaining this, but not only explaining this, you're going to be able to hear the joy of the people because the terrorists have been moved out and Assad is back in to that area. So if you would, please, Mike, play LV2.
Well, the reports out of Aleppo, Syria are incredible. The suffering, the humanitarian crisis. But if that's true, and I know this video is hard to see, but why are these people in Aleppo celebrating in the streets? Just listen to what they're doing. See, watch just about any media report, and you know that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is waging war on his own people. At least that's what you're being told. But is that the truth? Three facts that you're not hearing about Aleppo in this reality check that you won't see anywhere else. Well, if you listen to most media reports about Aleppo, you're going to hear that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, with the help of the Russians, is laying siege to his own city of Aleppo and committing genocide against his own people. But there is a lot of evidence that you're not getting the full story. During the five-year so-called Syrian civil war, we have been told, first of all, that moderate freedom fighters have been attempting to overthrow President Assad. But that claim has been repeatedly proven untrue. Three facts you don't know about Syria. Fact number one, Syria's so-called Free Syrian Army rebels have been disbanded. They no longer even exist. The U.S. actually trained moderate rebels in Syria, but according to the Pentagon, those moderates gave all their U.S.-provided weapons to al-Qaeda in Syria, known as al-Nusra Front. By late 2015, the largest group battling Assad became the Islamic State. To be clear, the Syrian government is battling ISIS and al-Qaeda, not rebels. Those are provable facts and admitted by our own government, and yet for some reason, most media refuses to even mention the names ISIS or al-Qaeda when talking about Aleppo, and instead only refer to these fighters as rebels. So what's actually happening in Aleppo? Well, in 2012, Aleppo, which is Syria's largest city, was taken by al-Nusra and FSA fighters. In September of this year, Assad and the Syrian Arab Army, the actual Syrian army, with the help of the Russians, began a military campaign to take back eastern Aleppo, which is controlled by terror groups. On Sunday, buses were sent in to eastern Aleppo to evacuate civilians by the Syrian government. But al-Nusra fighters set fire to those buses. Why? Because al-Nusra and ISIS are reportedly trying to block the evacuation of civilians from eastern Aleppo as they use those civilians for cover. Fact number two, there is not an attack on civilians being conducted by the Syrian government. Rescuers claim that hospitals in eastern Aleppo have been the primary target of the bombardment since this campaign for the eastern part of Aleppo began. It sounds horrific. But again, what virtually no national media is reporting, according to reports from those on the ground, like journalist Vanessa Beely, there are only three hospitals in eastern Aleppo, and they are almost exclusively inhabited by al-Qaeda and ISIS fighters. And fact number three, what about those white helmet groups? Well, they're not what they claim to be. The white helmets are an NGO that claims it has no connection to any group in the Syrian fight, and they are simply there to provide help to the injured and wounded civilians. They were nominated in 2016 for the Nobel Peace Prize, but here's what you may not know. The White Helmets are actually receiving $100 million in funding from the United States, the UK, Japan, Denmark, the Netherlands, and Germany. And so what you need to know is, well, actually going back to the video that we started with, the video of celebrations on the streets of Aleppo as the Syrian Arab Army continues to push out those terror groups. This video from journalist Lizzie Phelan, again, on the ground in Syria. So where is this kind of video in our national newscasts? Because on any given night, you're shown video of bombed out buildings, but you're not seeing the people who are thanking Syrian President Assad for pushing out al-Qaeda and ISIS. The bottom line here, there is an entirely different story here that is being missed. There is no question that al-Qaeda and ISIS are the driving force against Assad in Syria. So when media talks about those groups as a great threat to the world in every nation except for Syria, where they're only referred to as rebels, it becomes clear how dishonestly this story is being covered. That's Reality Check. Let's talk about that on Twitter.
So I just wanted to give Ben Swan another kudos and a thank you so much for having the integrity to report the truth, and I'm very thankful for that. You can find him at Truth in Media. com, I believe, is his site. So while this is going on, and we have discussed Syria, our Congress has been busy. And our Congress, the United States, extended sanctions against Russia. They are doing everything in their power to try to really engage in nefarious things before Obama leaves office. If you could, Mike, please play LV4, and let's hear about the U.S. extending the sanctions against Russia.
Hostile, the new U.S. sanctions on Moscow over the conflict in Ukraine and is prepared to respond accordingly. Sergei Ryabkov said that the Kremlin reserves every right to pick the time, place, and form in exactly how to react to Washington's anti-Russian measure in a way that suits Moscow. Ryabkov also said that Russia will expand its own sanctions list in response to the U.S. move. Now, earlier Tuesday, the U.S. Treasury Department, in a statement, said it added 7 Russian individuals, 8 entities, and 2 vessels to that list of U.S. sanctions. Individuals are blacklisted for allegedly having links to the previously sanctioned Rossiya Bank, as well as their business dealings with the Russian Federation Ministry of Defense. Meanwhile, Trump's nominee for U.S. Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, has expressed discontent over the move. And now Mr. Scott Bennett is joining us out of San Francisco, former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer. Hello, Mr. Bennett. Thanks for joining us on the program, sir. Now, your take, please, on how more sanctions seem to always be Washington's answer to any administration that has a different narrative than theirs.
Well, I think these sanctions are about to fizzle out and disappear with the emergence of the Trump administration. I think this is President Obama's last gasp. It's trying to start a war, and he's been effectively waging economic war as well as psychological war against Russia for the past few years with regards to the Syria intervention, and they're on their last legs. President-elect Trump and his team do not want antagonism with Russia. They are strategic thinkers, and that they know that Russia represents the best friend that America has in the war against the Wahhabi, Saudi Arabian, Qatar, Kuwait, Takfiri terrorists that are terrorizing the world. So Trump is intelligent enough and also independent enough to ally with Russia. So these sanctions, I think, are going to disappear the moment President Trump gets inaugurated. His team will immediately back away from that. And I think Europe already is moving in that direction with the election of the new political parties. This notion of making Russia the boogeyman really has no grounds. There's no intelligent design by it. It only hurts the indigenous peoples of Europe, and it really doesn't hurt the Russians. Their economy has actually been recalibrated, and it's become stronger. It's entrepreneurial and economic adaptability has been strengthened and diversified. So these sanctions haven't hurt Russia at all. It's only hurt America. And it's hurt the West. So I think they're drying up very quickly. And this recent attack on the Syrian or the Russian ambassador in Turkey, that just simply adds to the moral authority of Russia. And the Ukraine theater has been a basket case from the very beginning. It doesn't represent anything that the American people want to get involved with. It's simply another attempt by the military-industrial complex and the military and these Russia-phobic fools in Congress who just won't let communism die. They won't let that old Cold War die. That's their entire purpose for existence.
And we're running a little short, less than a minute. We've heard the Kremlin remark a couple times that make comments to allude to the fact that the whole Ukraine thing has become kind of a scapegoat to impose sanctions that are really designed to tie up Russia's hands for its successes in Syria.
Well, these designs and these hopes and these psychological warfare tactics have backfired on the West. It's not the West that's gained anything. It's Russia. The West has deteriorated in its reputation. We're now seeing very plainly with the disintegration of Aleppo that the West, France, Britain, Germany, the United States, Israel, have all contributed to having agents and foreign intelligence operatives in Aleppo. All of that is being exposed. These sanctions are meant to somehow frustrate Russia and ally the world against it. I think it's had the opposite effect. It's actually ostracized America, and it's caused the entire European continent to see Russia in a whole new light. And with its economic growth, I think that's going to increase. So the sanctions really don't have any gravity. The other thing that's distasteful to the American people is the barbarism of the Ukrainian government that America has erected under a coup d'etat. Everyone knows that the Americans under Nuland and the Secretary of State Kerry, before that Secretary of State Clinton, all contributed to the removal of the democratically elected president of Ukraine through an illegal coup d'etat, and all of that is being exposed. So when we represent democracy and human rights, it certainly is not coming across as authentic. It's actually showing America is completely hypocritical.
Thank you.
I think all of that is coming to pass is going to be increasing in its visual.
Thanks for your contribution, Mr. Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer,
okay,
giving us his input out of San Francisco.
Mike, so as we have over and over and over again established what side and who is supporting what, now they're trying to do the sanctions against, of course, Russia over the Ukraine, and this gentleman is correct that the Ukraine was unlawfully taken over, and I hope Hillary Clinton will also hopefully get some indictment charges on being involved with that as well, not just her, but other individuals that were involved with that. So I do have a little bit more news, and then I'm going to have Eric give you a little bit of taste about what we're going to talk about tomorrow night, because we're running out of time, and I apologize, Eric, but we will cover it, I promise, first tomorrow night.
It's fine. I was thinking the same thing. That'll give us more time. Thanks, Lori.
Not a problem. We will start that at the beginning, and then we will go in depth and cover it, and y'all do not want to miss what we're covering tomorrow night.
Let me just give them a taste. The theme of tomorrow's show is, will Black Lives Matter help a black patriot?
Exactly. And y'all are not going to want to miss this, because she's truly a patriot. She knows about common law, and she's being targeted through her son, and we will expose that on tomorrow night's show. I do want to ask, gentlemen, do y'all remember on November the 1st, there was a church that was burned down in Mississippi? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And the church that was burned down in Mississippi, somebody had wrote Vote Trump on it, trying to make it look like Trump supporters burned this church down and everything else. Well, today it was found out. Well, so much for that KKK theory, everybody. Hold on to your hats. There has been another hoax or false flag, however you want to say it. It's not by the government. It's by an individual. But a black man has been arrested and charged with burning an African-American church in Greenville, Mississippi last month and defacing its outer walls with Vote Trump graffiti. The Mississippi State Police arrested Andrew McClinton, 45 years old, on Wednesday and charged him with first-degree arson of a place of worship. Warren Strain, a spokesman with the Mississippi Department of Public Safety, told the Daily Caller, McClinton allegedly set First to Hope Well Missionary Baptist Church, where he is a member. How trifling is that? On November the 1st, he set his own church on fire. A week before the election, the fire destroyed 80% of the church, and a GoFundMe account raised more than $240,000 to repair the facility. Now, of course, this is a quote. It says, quote, "We do not believe it was politically motivated. There may have been some efforts to make it appear politically motivated," unquote, said the Mississippi Insurance Commissioner Mike Cheney, who also serves as the state fire marshal. And that was told to the Associated Press. So once again, you know, this is one of the things that antique mainstream media hopped on board. The racist Trump supporters burnt down black church, KKK, blah, 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 all over the news. And once again, almost, I have not found one of these that has not ended up being a hoax. And that these are being done to set and stage things up. And you would think that antique mainstream media would catch on by now. Instead of saying, oh, a racist Trump supporter, KKK, blasey, 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 set a black church on fire. You might want to report it a little better. Until you know, all you can say is this church was set on fire. Somebody spray painted, vote Trump. We do not know as of yet if it is a Trump supporter or if it is someone trying to appear to be one. That would be their wisest move because according to what I'm hearing through the grapevine, Keith, you would be better to be able to explain this situation. I think it would be a good way to go out on the show tonight about the mainstream media. Approximately only 33% of people now actually even believe anything about the mainstream media. But you were telling me something that you had found out about the mainstream media. Could you inform the listeners?
Well, two things, actually. The first one is the New York Times are shutting down five of their floors to make those available so they can collect the rent because of financial problems. MSNBC shut down two of their major programs and fired the people and their crews the other day because of financial issues. And now also we're finding out that the federal government is stepping in and taking control of all state control media.
Right, and we had discussed this, that actually all the way back to 2012, they did away with the Smith Month Act through the NDAA. They, in the sequester, they gave $650 million for press and for movies and such as that. So this is not a new thing. The federal government has had control over what's going on to a point, because pretty much the federal government, and I really hate to call it the federal government because it's really not. We the people are the government, guys. And that's why I hate it when I hear people go, you're anti-government, or so-and-so's anti-government. How can we be anti-government? We the people are the government. And if you don't believe that, you need to go back and read some of your historical documents and realize that Declaration of Independence makes it pretty clear. We created it, not we ourselves, because we obviously weren't alive back then. But it's we the people that are the government, not some fictitious entity that claims that they are. So I want to say to all of our listeners, please, if you can, please donate to help Tom. He is going to need help. Lori needs help. You're going to need help with, of course, money coming in order to be able to keep phone calls coming into Lori so that we can remain updated on what's going on. We have to keep that contact open. He's going to need things there at the jail that he is not going to be able to get without money on his books. We also are trying to get enough money raised where we can actually help to get him constitutional attorney. Now, if there is a constitutional attorney that hears the sound of my voice and wants to take Tom's case pro bono, then that would be highly appreciated, and we wouldn't have to try to raise funds for that unless it is to help you. But I know there's great constitutional attorneys out there. I would love to see Chris Ann Hall take his case. I really would. However, I don't think she's a quote-unquote bar member anymore, because she found out what the bar really was and she stepped out of that, according to what I know about that. So I just wanted to say, be careful what you believe in the mainstream media. I also want to say this to constitutionalists and to patriots. You know, so many times in this day and time, you will hear a mainstream media report, then you will go on YouTube and you will rant about that person, especially if that person is a constitutionalist or a patriot or seems to be that way. We have to grant every individual the same respect that we would want for ourselves. We have to, if we're going to stand for your unalienable rights, we have to stand for everyone's unalienable rights. And that is consistent in the responsibility of not automatically attacking someone who has exposed the federal government, who has exposed corruption in the IRS, who is pro-Second Amendment, sometimes does some crazy videos. But it is our responsibility and our duty not to automatically assume he is guilty because it's been reported in the mainstream media. It is our responsibility and our duty to say, wait a minute, none of the facts have come out yet. And the reality is we all know patriots en masse in the last 8 years have been set up big time. People have been murdered big time. And it's claimed a suicide, yet they shoot themselves in the back of the head 3 times. That's amazing to me. So let's not forget our ultimate goal is to unite and give everybody else exactly what you would expect for yourself and exactly what you would expect if you are truly about the Constitution, if you're truly about your unalienable rights. It is up to us. We have to set the example. And when we go on YouTube ranting and raving about such things, attacking somebody without having the facts, instead of giving innocent until proven guilty, then we ourselves, if we do that, are part of the problem and not the solution. And we must be part of the solution. Would y'all agree with that?
I do.
Well, I keep telling people all the time, we need to quit excuses and come up with a solution. I don't care if we don't use a solution, but if we can come up with a solution, we get away from the excuses.
Exactly. And with that being said, thank you for joining us tonight. Please come back and listen tomorrow. We've got really a lot of breaking news tomorrow that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And until next time, as always, Semper Fidelis, watch your backs and check your facts. Thank you, Eric and Keith, for joining me tonight. And I hope y'all will join me again tomorrow night. God bless you all and good night.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.